This congregation has nurtured and challenged and supported me and my family for 40 years. It makes me feel, it's been a time of growth and learning, sometimes going beyond my comfort zone. There's been exhilaration and hard work and some sorrows along the way. In the summer of 1984, Ron and I and 8-month-old Kate moved back to Lancaster from Kansas after having been gone for about 14 years. We knew we would no longer fit into our home congregations, and we hoped to find an urban congregation that was grounded in Anabaptist values, but that also respected having questions and doubts. So we weren't full of answers at that point. The beginnings of CMCL were invigorating and sometimes exhausting. We had lots of ideas and energy and willingness to try new things. We deliberated and debated and experimented, and in the process of building a congregation, we also, I think, built a community of faith. As a 30-something mother of a toddler and a full-time graduate student in Philadelphia, I had a lot on my plate. At CMCL, we found other toddler parents with whom we shared childcare and carpools and potlucks and parenting strategies. And as our family expanded and our children grew, I have memories of shivering through Easter sunrise services and damp fall baptisms in the lake at Black Rock. People here stepped up to be mentors to our two children. As budding musicians, they were given opportunities to perform during worship and other gatherings. And in 2014, a whole busload of CMCLers, driven by Leon Miller, traveled to New York to hear Eric's senior recital at Manhattan School of Music. That was a fun time. When Kate returned home to Lancaster from graduate school, a little demoralized and disillusioned, CMCL welcomed her back with love and acceptance. After 30-plus years in higher ed, I'm now transitioning into retirement, and I'm trying to figure out what to do with the next 10 or 20 years. And at CMCL, I have models for aging gracefully. I have friends who've walked with us through births and hospitalizations and deaths in our own family and in the CMCL family. And I know I am not alone. When Rod had a terrible bike accident, CMCL was there for us. When Hans and Kate and their two boys moved back to Lancaster from Brooklyn, CMCL welcomed them. When Eric celebrated his wedding to his partners, James and John, this summer, CMCL people celebrated with him. In recent years, I realized there's more to be done. My perceptions of myself and my own privilege have been challenged by our work on anti-racism and reparations. I'm so grateful for the next generation who are showing me how to work for justice for Palestinians and immigrants and refugees. And I'm grateful to be part of a congregation that struggles with the challenges of our time rather than avoiding them. I'm also thankful for our preachers and pastors and teachers and musicians and artists who challenge and inspire and touch me spiritually and intellectually. I'm thankful for the multitudes of volunteers who make worship and facilities and Christian education happen here. And my grandmother's heart is full when our youngest grandson is excited to spend time with Mr. J and Miss Carol each Sunday. There have been many seasons of CMCL these 40 years. Some have been more difficult than others. We've built buildings, we've created programs, we've challenged the status quo, we've had leaders come and go, we've had people leave us and new people join us. And from my perspective, it's a worthy journey. 40 years ago, we were looking for a church. What we found was a community. And that makes all the difference.
Good morning. I was asked to do this a little last minute, so my notes are kind of all up here. It's going to be a little off the cuff. But anybody who knows me knows that I'm pretty good in that kind of situation. So when asked to speak, I was starting to think about what did I want to share? You know, what brought me, I know what's brought my family to CMCL. And I have been very fortunate this morning that the answers have been sort of plastered all around for me this morning, both the songs that we've been singing. I haven't been here in a few weeks because we have a baby and I've been staying home with him. So the artwork around the sanctuary is also some of what I'd like to touch on. But the, I guess speaking for myself personally, why I am here, why I come to CMCL, I didn't realize until this morning that I've been coming for probably about 6 or 7 years, which to me is like, wow, I can't believe it's been that long. And a lot of it is, well, it's all thanks to my wife, Sarah, who first invited me when we were dating, said, oh, you should just come. I grew up in the Mennonite Church. I've had a back and forth sort of a, I don't want to say love-hate, but a tenuous relationship with organized religion for much of my adult life. And so it was a kind of a hurdle for me to get here in the first place. But after I did, in my head, this congregation had kind of like a mythic personage, right? Like I went to Lancaster Mennonite and there were kids from CMCL who would talk about all the cool stuff they did at CMCL. You know, at least, and this is totally apocryphal, but like at the time, allegedly somebody in youth group was a Buddhist. I'm like, whoa, that's so cool. So like in my head, I was like, whoa, CMCL. And when Sarah said she went here, I was like, okay, that's really cool. And I came for a while and was like, yeah, it was okay. It felt a lot like church to me. And then there was a particular morning where we had communion, and I had sat through a couple communions here already and didn't partake. And the call was very simple. It was just come. You don't have to overthink it, which is something I'm often very guilty of. It wasn't some great promise. It wasn't some great declaration of faith. It was just accepting an invitation to a table and to a meal. And I did, and I wept the whole time. And since then, each Sunday after that, each year that is stacked on, I come back because this place is really special. Not only in our world today, I think within our denomination, CMCL is a really unique place. In my wanderings and sort of religious inquiry, originally I was trying to get maybe as far away from Mennonites as I could, just because it's all I had known, and I wanted to see what else was out there. And I remember a conversation with a youth pastor in college when I was talking about my doubts, and he said, Mike, when you come back from your wanderings, you know, your faith is going to be so much stronger. And at the time, I said to him, Steve, I said, I don't know if I'll ever come back. But now that I find myself back, I find a lot of wisdom in his words. You know, he was talking to a Mike who wasn't ready to hear those words. But the Mike now that remembers them is really appreciative of them. And so why I'm here is because of what this congregation, what I see in this congregation, what we stand for as a community. I think the name alone is just community, right? I mean, I was welcomed in with all my doubts and questions. I mean, I look around this congregation and I listen to the stories of people who come, and what invigorates me is that more and more I see people who are coming to this faith tradition, which I think is very unique and very special in the world, and they're coming to it without the traditional, I grew up in it, right? They're coming to it of their own merit. They see the value in what is preached here, how people are living their lives, how we help each other, how we want to help the world. And I think that's what draws me in, that's what keeps me here, is this culture of community and wanting to help not only those of us here, but those of us who are outside these walls, who aren't here with us today. Either because they don't know we're here or because they still choose not to come, but they still want to, you know, speak with us and interface with us. And that's something I feel like that we're called to do. In and now citing some of the things that I've seen here this morning, I love What Is This Place. I love how often we sing it. And I was struck by the last verse here. That's why I brought my hymnal up. This is the place where we can receive what we need to increase, God's justice and God's peace. And for years, I've read that as us filling up our cup, right? We come here, we enter into community with each other, we listen to scripture, we listen to sermons, and we fill ourselves up for the next week. But this time around, I also felt like there was a call in it. This is the place where we can receive almost like a mandate, what we need to increase. You know, we need to go out. We need to increase God's peace. We need to be those ambassadors for that. And I feel like that is something that this church does very well. And so hearing that for the first time, and then, oh yeah, it's not just about filling myself up, but it's about being filled and then carrying that out into the world. I think we're in a time in history where that's really important. And so the other thing that I'll touch on quick before I wrap up here is the image of Dirk Willems on the wall here. You know, if you've grown up in the Anabaptist tradition, I don't know how many times I've seen that over the course of my life, right? To the point that it's just become ubiquitous. Like, oh yeah, Anabaptism's Dirk Willems, Martyr's Mirror. But my inquisitive 5-year-old daughter has noticed it in the hallway down in the Christian Ed wing. And I remember even just a couple months ago, she started asking me questions about it. Because we got talked about during the 500th history of the Anabaptist movement. And having to explain that to a 5-year-old really recontextualizes things for me. And every time I see that, I see, yeah, he went back and he helped the guy through the ice, but it's not just what Dirk did, but it's that metaphor. That's a model of how Anabaptists have tried to live their lives and engage with their faith, live out their faith, and something that I want to strive to do and strive to teach my children to do as well. And I think this congregation, this community, is really good at fostering that. And so I'm happy and excited to be here with you all. Thank you.
One of the guiding images in the worship materials for this theme we've been exploring together is a stream. And I really enjoy thinking about the life of CMCL as a waterway that has traveled through several different terrains. Perhaps when CMCL began, it felt more like a trickle of water, unsure if enough rain would come to sustain its journey. And as the water continued to flow, it may have taken more side channels than anticipated, and perhaps water levels rose and fell. Admittedly, I know very little about the full journey of the CMCL stream. Our family jumped in rather recently, only about 7 years ago. And maybe only a handful of folks here today have seen the first gurgling moments of this stream. And none of us know what terrain lies ahead. But in this moment, we've all shown up here today. And while our reasons may differ, we have each decided that being here matters for some reason. When I consider why our family decided to jump in, to throw our weight behind this bubbling stream of life, a few thoughts come to mind. I am struck by how this congregation thoughtfully examines beliefs. In a similar way that the constant motion of water smooths out a rock over time, this community is one that carefully considers tough questions, turning them over and over and over and over. The jagged edges of our questions and doubts are welcomed here, as we've already heard this morning. You can toss them in and know that they will be acknowledged and held, because you are known and loved as you are here, and the stream will carry you and all that you bring. But perhaps one of the biggest reasons for joining the CMCL stream is that it's simply too difficult to keep a tiny brook flowing all on your own. One little drop of water will never make its way down the mountainside, but when joined together, the droplets carry one another through vast landscapes. And not only do they carry one another, but what nourishment they can bring to the living creatures and the habitats nearby. Navigating what it means to follow Jesus what it looks like to love our enemies, learning how to be peacemakers, how to stay engaged with the world without growing overwhelmed with grief. These are questions and journeys that feel too big to do alone. And I don't think we were ever intended to practice our faith solo. Our individual droplets find all kinds of reasons to stop trying to find a way forward. The path is treacherous, after all. But when joined together, the journey becomes bearable and even enjoyable as we carry each other forward. Showing up and being reminded that I am known and loved by God slowly wears away my own jagged edges of doubt that want to believe otherwise. And on the days when believing anything good about God feels too difficult, I can come and be held by the beliefs of the other people in this room. I can be carried downstream in the arms of God and this community, which somehow continually flows both from and back towards an everlasting love. Thanks be to God.